Time now for your comments. We received many emails this week about the war in Iraq and about World War II. Retired U.S. Navy Commander Anthony Gadaletta thanked Susan Stamberg for her story about Army nurse Kate Nolan, who treated wounded soldiers from Normandy to the Battle of the Bulge. Gadaletta writes, "My father was badly wounded during the Battle of the Bulge. Because of the care he received from Army nurses, he eventually recovered. Dad died in 2002. It's impossible," he writes, "to know if my dad ever had the chance to thank the nurses who helped him. On behalf of my dad, please extend to Kate Nolan my personal thanks for her service." Dear Morning Edition, writes Tiffany Moore of Denver, "While I drove to work this morning preparing myself for another uninspiring day, I heard your story about the father watching his son graduate from high school on television while serving in Iraq. The raw emotion, strength, and sacrifice the families are making on a daily basis jarred me back into reality. I had taken for granted that my parents were at my graduation." Dick Campa of Tucson did not thank us for the interview with retired General Anthony Zinni, in which Zinni criticized the U.S. strategy in Iraq. Campa writes, "My son is in the Army. I see copies of letters written by soldiers now serving in Iraq. They do not reflect any of the disillusionment or sense of deception on why they went there, as mentioned by General Zinni." Campa continues, "The general mentions that news of war deaths is not given enough prominence. I disagree. NPR and other media do plenty to point out the cost of this war. I wish," he writes, "there would be more reporting on the positive things being done by individual units that are building relationships and respect between themselves and Iraqi civilians." Pam Bachrock of Los Angeles wondered why we called Kareem Abdul-Jabbar an unlikely author when promoting our interview about his new book, Brothers in Arms. Bachrock reminds us that Abdul-Jabbar graduated from UCLA in 4 years while playing basketball and has since co-authored a number of books, including Black Profiles in Courage. Finally, B. Cantor, an eighth-grade teacher in Midlothian, Virginia, was intrigued by our story about the so-called bad hair gene, and she writes, "After hearing that the gene that causes cowlicks and hair whirl patterns may also affect left or right-hand domination, it occurred to me that it may affect handwriting. For 2 days now, I've watched students as they write and paid closer attention to their hair." The teacher continues, "It may be just a coincidence, but still, kids with very straight hair or hair that is uniformly curly have much neater handwriting than kids with more unruly hair." A student pointed out that Einstein had funky hair and said he'd be willing to live with his awful handwriting if it meant his brain worked better. If something on Morning Edition gets your brain working, send your comments to npr.org. Please say where you live and how to pronounce your name.